Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante along with Mike Villagrana. Our show is brought to you by HVU Insider. Mike is the executive director of that. Mike, it's a happy day. We get the great recap of a spectacular game this weekend.
I know. It feels like this game, excuse my voice too, I just had nonstop talking for the last like 72 hours. And so I'm kind of losing my voice, but well worth it. It just felt like we reset in a sense from a Penn State football standpoint. Everything yesterday just felt different, obviously, from the previous seasons. And it was just like refreshing. It was a different vibe in that stadium. It felt like. Now, I wore a long sleeve and I have a bald head, and I thought it was gonna be over 80. But then the freaking sun came out, and man, I just sweated all day and just burnt. So I'm beat up as a 42-year-old, and I told you I walked 19,000 steps or 18,000 steps yesterday, 9.5 miles, in shoes that were too small, and so my toes are broken down. So I know I'm being a baby about this, but
you are.
I can't do this. I'm not game ready. I wasn't game ready, and that's my fault. So I gotta hit the workouts this week. I gotta get back on it because I was not in game shape. So that's on me. But the team was ready. Matt Campbell was ready, and man, just like I. So I, with the job that I had this past game, I got to take some auction winners from HVU Insider sweepstakes. And with that, you know, it's just a game day experience where I take them to the lash. I tour them around. They see Haluba. I took them by the parent tailgate. We had a guy, Matt Jerseys, on Instagram. He had some jerseys of the players. And we went to the parent tailgate, and he gave them some of their jerseys of their kids. It was pretty neat. And then, you know, watched the team arrival and then the sideline. And It was just a great day, and just felt different from past, and then obviously, you know, because of the coaching change. But it was just an all around great day. You couldn't ask for better. I think on our podcast, I said 42-9. I think, and I was wondering what Chris said, because I think I wanted to know who won that bet. I think I won.
I think you did. I think I had 37-10 was mine, and I think Chris had something like 32-9 or something to that effect. So I imagine you had the biggest margin, which made you closest. But I do have to give you a little bit of hell where you're complaining like as an old man. I'm 66 years old, Mike. I showed you my pedometer. I was at like 7 miles for Saturday, so. And you don't hear me whining. Come on.
No. It's more about me. It's more about me humbling myself and having some self-reflection and say, I got to get in better shape. Because even at the game, you know, Jim, for the fans that don't know, he was with me kind of tagging along with the experience. And I appreciate you doing that, Jim. But there was that one point during team arrival, we're in the Mount Dittany Club, and I had to bend down, and I got up, and I was just like, man, and you heard it, and you were laughing at me. So that was embarrassing. That was very embarrassing. So, I got to do some LBs to get my legs in shape.
the old man sound, which I'm very familiar with. And by the way, Mike, okay, I'm going to give the shameless plug for it. I got to tag along. So they were some great folks that we showed through the Lash building. Some great guys. Yeah. They were a lot of fun to talk to. And if you're going to do that again, I am just going to advise our listeners, get to where go to happyvalleyunited.com. I guess that's the best place to go, right, Mike, to become a member of Club 814. How do you do this as a raffle or something for it? And are you going to do it again, like for the Buffalo game? Do you know?
Yeah. And so we even, for the away games, we have some pretty cool things, some experiences that we're going to be able to roll out. We're going to have experience next week that's on there right now as far as the Philly game. And then I think we're going to even add to the experience 2 tickets to the Eagles home game. So this is something new that we're doing. It's kind of our lane, and I really like it. I really enjoy it personally because it's, you know, I have a recruiting background, and so I like talking to people, meeting people. And the people that we've been around since we've been doing this, not even a whole year, they're always great, always very appreciative. And, like getting two Penn State guys that are together with me and just taking them around, talking ball, and then I always learn something. And then, honestly, like, I met the pro day experience winner yesterday and took a picture with him and we're friends now. Like, we talk.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I really enjoy that part of this. So yeah, you go on Happy Valley Live. There's experience section that you can look at. There's an auction where there's some sign balls, stuff like that, that we're going to be continuing to add. But the experiences part is really cool. And then the sweepstakes is on the HVU Insider site. And that's where you put entries in to win and you don't have to pay. And that's what we—that's what we're doing. So those are the two different things. And we had a sweepstakes winner with us and an auction winner with us yesterday, and it was awesome going with them. The dad was from Cranberry, Pittsburgh, Seneca High School. I think we're going to have them on the show or on the pod here this week, just so they can talk about the experience. Because what was cool about it was when we're on the sideline. And he's a younger Penn State grad. I think he's like 2 or 3 years deep. He's in the Manhattan, financial advisor type of deal. And just a great kid and great dad. And he goes to me, he's like, man, I'll never forget this with my dad. Right?
Yep.
Oh. And the experience winner at Pro Day, Big Lou, he said that about his kid. Bro, I'm getting old and sappy and I got 8-11. So like when I hear that stuff, man, you can't beat it. And then for us to play like that, the vibes and it was just such a good day, and just like I said, it just felt like a reset, and it's well deserved for Penn State fans, right? Because we had the longest off season, arguably, than anybody else this season, and so I just feel like it was well deserved, and kudos to Matt Campbell and that staff. And putting on that product that they did yesterday. I know I'm proud, and I'm sure everybody else is proud as Penn State.
Well, I'm glad you described it. The whole day was like, is the experience, you know, it's beautiful weather. It's the tailgating. I was with you a good part of the day, and I appreciate it, Mike. I love it. I always have a great time with you. So we had a great time. I hit a couple friends at tailgates. Which was nice. Only had time to say hello, but it was great to do. That's what this is about. And the vibe, again, the experience. I talked with Dad more because he was like my age, and we talked about, we went back as we're going through the All-Americans, you know, and we're seeing Mike Reed and Oncotts and Smear and those guys. We're like, that's when I became a fan. So that was a lot of fun. But like once the game began, again, so many good things. Let's talk about the game itself, Mike, and that experience. There was kind of just a good feeling from start to finish. There wasn't that hesitating to start, you know, where, the first possession, a 3-and-out. We've just seen too much of that. This was like just efficient from play number one.
Yeah, and I keep saying it, and I feel like even the national media are starting to catch on to this. Like, it's a product of where we're at in college football. A lot of people don't understand the amount of talent or the amount of talent they don't have on each roster from year to year now. And so yesterday was basically the first time, like, a lot of fans are seeing these guys. And I'm very bullish on – this team is very similar to the Cignetti team that he brought to Indiana, right?
Yes.
You know, like I get frustrated when I hear Matt Campbell brought the Iowa State guys. This is Iowa West or whatever. Like, Cignetti brought JMU guys and won with them. Why? Because they were developed. They knew the culture. They knew the systems. So we have Iowa State guys that played in the Big 12 that were the best of the best from Iowa now in the same system with the one of the most experienced quarterbacks in the country. So, heck yeah, like I'm so bullish on this. And like yesterday, I'm not surprised by it, but what I did say last week was I'm just hoping to see like some clean game. And that I think is like the one word I've heard from everybody. Right. And I said it in the first half or at halftime. I'm like, man, this seems like a really clean game, smooth operation. And like a lot of the things that we've been talking about with these position rooms, it kind of happened like we were thinking about it. You know, the three four-headed horse out of the backfield, right? Like that was pretty cool to see that happen, and was pretty evenly distributed. If you look at the reps, the yards per carry, but that was awesome. I think 4 months ago, if you would have said Cam Wallace is going to score and going to be a part of this rotation, I don't think you're saying that. But today you see he's going to be another weapon in the backfield, which is awesome, right? But you can go down the line in the position rooms and the positions and everybody. It was just that you couldn't ask for a better game.
No, you really couldn't. And what I'd like to do with you, Mike, is go through the teams itself. I'd like to start with the offense, go through some evaluation of it. Then we'll hit the defense, of course. But let's start on the offensive side. You mentioned Rocco Beck, the most experienced quarterback in the country, okay? Yeah. He's seen it all, done it all. Quick evaluation of Rocco Beck.
I think he's a smooth operator. You know, he's a savvy vet, man. And, like, we always say, like, you have to have a quarterback. And we have that experienced quarterback that has the respect of everybody that's been in the system. He has his head coach that he's been with his entire career. He has his same coordinator he's had in his entire career, right? He has his top two tight ends he's had. He has his running backs. The receivers. Like, everybody seems in sync, right? And I think the offensive line has come along really well. That I think the whole offensive line looks like it's aligned. And yesterday was a good day. And I don't think – and honestly, like we put up 45 or 42 or whatever it was, but like I don't think Mauser really showed a ton, right? He was still pretty vanilla, which is great as we kind of go in the season. But I thought our guy – Rocco had a great game. And honestly, like if he keeps putting numbers up, especially at the beginning when we're playing less talented teams, you know, this could, you know, kind of head towards the Heisman talk.
And, of course, as we all know, win games and your quarterback will be considered. All right, that's it for quarter one. Lots more to go. Stick with us.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante, along with Mike Villagrana. Before we get back to looking at that game against Marshall, 45-0, Penn State pitched a shutout there. Just want to mention my friends over at Blue White RV. Yeah, you probably remember them from their prior name. They are now Blue White RV. If you don't know about them, what they do is they set up the RVs for game day, for the game weekend. You show up on Friday, you can stay through Sunday, and instead of you having to bring an RV, you just drive there. They have the RV ready for you already. It's fantastic. The RVs are provided. They have hookup with water, heat, AC. They have fire pits there, a pavilion, food service. They even have a shuttle to take you to and from the game. So if you're looking for the right place for you to stay, think about Blue White RV. Give my buddy Mark a call at 800-519-8467. It is so much fun. There is such a great weekend. I think for the Buffalo game, they're actually going to have some music there, so live music. So that's going to be a lot of fun. If you stay there for the Buffalo game, you'll see me. I'm going to be there for that weekend. So I'm going to be in town, Mike, again for that weekend. I'll show up Friday, and I'll be sticking around. Let's talk about this team a little bit. We're talking offensively about Rocco Beck. Great performance. He quarterbacked like a guy who's the most experienced quarterback in the country. But I want to talk about the wide receivers, the much maligned wide receiver room from the last couple of years. They were sensational. Mike, they got open. And I'll tell you what, I keep notes while watching the game. And after it felt like every catch, I wrote a little note, yak, yards after catch. I don't recall doing that for the last several years.
Yeah, I think it's a product of the system, right? And them being comfortable in the system and having a quarterback knowing where their receivers are going to be. Like, he was sharp with that, right? And so I just think they're well ahead of what you would think a first-year head coach and, you know, a bunch of transfers would be, right? And it's a product of what I just said in the first quarter. It's the entire system just moved from Iowa State to State College, right? Like, it's
– yeah.
There's familiarity. So I think this system, I mean, it couldn't have got off to a better start, because you look at the wide receivers. Obviously, Coby Howard was a name last year everybody liked to talk about. He had his best game in college to this point. 6 receptions, 161 yards, 1 touchdown. And then White Shadow right behind him. Brett Edskelson had 5 catches, 48 and a touch. And then our guy, Zay Robinson, get him the damn ball, had a touch. So it was good seeing that. Obviously, that's what these shows do. You know, like, you feel like that's your kid after you do an interview with them, and you're jacked up, especially with a kid like Zay Robinson, which he's kind of under the radar. But I think it was on our show that we did say that he was a name to watch. So it was really good. Brommer was, I'm glad he got a touchdown too. Good to see him get in a rhythm. And then Raffier. The combo of those two, that's a deadly combo in this system, with because they both are good blocking tight ends as well. Arguably two of the best in the country. You know how I feel about Raffier when it comes to all around and him being able to block. And then you got four running backs in the rotation, plus now you have this receiver room with the production that they have now. Like, you couldn't be any more excited, Jim.
I was sensational the game that Coby Howard had. You know, I'm like the biggest Zay Robinson fan around. Okay.
Yeah.
So seeing him perform was fantastic. But I want to give a shout out to the guy who kind of gets forgotten a little bit, who is Chase Sowell, who had the two receptions he had were early, but it's almost like he set the tone. Not only made the catch, made somebody miss, and it's like, okay, he's the lead receiver. Think about him, and all of a sudden, Coby Howard's going to kill you, okay? And what impressed me also, like, with the first touchdown that Coby Howard had, he was not the primary receiver. If you saw, I think he was looking for James Peoples coming out of the backfield, who got tripped up, fell down. You saw Coby Howard was obviously, you know, running his route. Okay, the play kind of broke down. He made himself open, got himself free, and Rocco Beck found him. So that was kind of nice to see also, that it wasn't just even when they have to go a bit off script, they could make something special happen.
Well, Jim, I'll say that I think we got to give the offensive line their props. The running backs, protection, the blitz pickup, the tight ends. That's also a huge reason why these receivers were getting the ball and be able to do something once they got them, right? So kudos to them, because that's a huge reason why these receivers are able to get is that blitz pickup stuff. I know we had one that one sack that we had, but you know, he had on a ball just a little bit long, but you know, that's, you know, you're gonna have one or two of those a game. But overall, that offensive line was awesome.
Well, also in that sack, you know, not that it makes it better, but it wasn't like somebody just got directly beat. Marshall ran a stunt. The guy at defensive end actually circled around, made his move to the inside for that sack. Again, they had to run a stunt to do that. Doesn't make it good, but it also is, okay, nobody got physically beat on that play.
No, so, no,
yeah. So again, not looking to excuse it or say it's good. It just was just a fact of how that went. And I don't know. The other thing I wanted to mention, you struck the chord for me, talking about the offensive line and the running backs and protection. I also saw the receivers downfield opening up some lanes for their fellow receiver with blocking. There was some blocking downfield, which, you know, that's often the way that's what produces a big play.
Yeah, no question. I go back to the 16 season when I was here, my first stint. Those receivers who the receiver coach at that point, at that time, was Coach Gaddis. I think he's at Syracuse now. But he harped on those guys harder about blocking than actually catching the ball during his time. And those guys, and we had that season, we had a ton of explosive plays because of some of the blocking that they did. You know, some of those huge runs like Saquon had back in the day, like a lot of them were because Godwin and a lot of those receivers are down the field 50 yards, but still blocking. So yeah, to your point, Jim, that's a huge thing that those guys are blocking and not staying there. And there's also a good rotation, especially when because it's tricky when you're trying, you know, keep these guys fresh and they're running downfield. You got to have a good rotation. Good communication, guys coming on and off the field. That's a very positive thing for us to see that moving forward.
Give me your take on the play calling from Taylor Mauser. Anything surprise you?
No, I think it's, you know, it's a run heavy, you know, like getting under center, multiple personnels. I thought it was impressive. We had a fullback out there yesterday. I know our friend Chris Bukanai is going to be jacked up about that.
yes.
So I think he called a great game. And let me go back to pregame. When I'm sitting on the side or standing on the sidelines for pregame, I'm with the experienced winners, and you know I'm getting baked by the sun. But when I'm down on the sidelines pregame, I put on like an operational lens. Just because just from PTSD, I guess, and my experiences in the past. And I look at, you know, the operation with the recruits, which was awesome. Derek Hoosier and his staff, they had a ton of recruits that really didn't get talked about. A ton of the commitments were here. But that whole operation for the first time is a ton. But it was such a clean process. And you could tell on the sideline, those recruits had a good time. But then I also look at the head coach, how's he interacting pregame? How are the coaches interacting pregame? And to me, it is a genuine like aura around like Coach Campbell. One is like he is like the most like he's just got a different aura about him. He's genuine. He's got intense focus to him, and it's real, right? And you feel that. And I felt that when he was going around to the other coaches and the players and dapping them up pregame. And then you look at the coaches, the assistant coaches, they genuinely look so like they've worked together for like 50 years, man. Like they look – Coach Mauser, the couple guys were like just seeing him walk by, and they're like, he looks so relaxed. I'm like, in his interview with us, he says he's like a hockey coach. He's not the typical coach that's going to be yelling and whatnot. And I just think it's really cool. And they're like, yeah, he seems like a bro. I'm like, he's awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
He's very relaxed. He's cool, calm, collected. But the whole staff is like that. To me, when I'm looking at them on the sidelines, it honestly looked like that pregame warm up and that whole entire operation wasn't the first time. Like, it looks like they had been doing that for years. And to me, that was like, oh, this team is ready. This is what I wanted to see. This is what I kind of expected to see. And then it translated to the field. And it was a clean game. It was just really good. So I think, like I said, going back to what you were saying, Mauser, I think he called a really good game. I think he was trying to get some of the staple plays that he's going to run and then build off of some of the formation stuff down the line. I think he was able to do that, but I don't think he gave up too much. But I think he did enough that he's going to continue to build off of what he did yesterday.
Well, we saw the things that we had talked about, and we had talked about them because they told us these things. They told us we would see multiple tight ends. We saw it. They told us we would see multiple running backs. We saw that. They told us we'd see the quarterback under center. We saw that. Yeah. They even, Mauser even said, hey, we'll see someone lined up as a fullback. And I don't know if you saw anybody else doing it, but I want to give the shout out to Finn Fermanek. He was the guy that they put out there at fullback. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you about, there were probably two places.
State college finest.
There you go. Yeah. But there were two decisions that Matt Campbell had to make, whether to go for it on fourth down or not. I want to talk to you about that when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He is Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. And when we finished up the last segment, Mike, I teased that we were going to talk about the couple coaching decisions that Matt Campbell had to make. On the first possession, they had a fourth down, and he chose to kick the field goal then. They made the field goal and went on from there. Little bit later in the first half, they had a fourth and one in their own territory and chose to go for it. Well, first of all, they lined up as if they were going to go for it. I think a lot of us thought, okay, he's lining up like this. He'll maybe give a hard count, try to draw him off sides, and then either call a timeout or take the 5 yards and then punt it, or force Marshall into a timeout, which is what happened. Marshall called the timeout, got themselves reset. Lo and behold, Penn State comes right back up, and by the way, lined up with a fullback, and they went for it, and he was successful there. So tell me your evaluation of those two decisions, and they were different decisions each time, and they were successful each time. Give me your take on those calls.
Yeah, Jim, I think this goes along the line with like a clean game, right? Like I think he has a system. This is where it gets funny, and like with social media, every call and every decision is magnified now by each head coach. But obviously, seasons past, like Coach Franklin has got crushed on some of the calls that he's made. But Matt Campbell had a good decision. It looked like he had a good system as how he wanted to make those calls, because a lot of the times those decisions are made within 2-3 people with the head coach, and some people go so far as into having like a 15-inch thick binder of analytics and what they should do, right? That I get that part, but I think that I just there's a feel to the game. There's momentum to the game that analytics can't tell you. So I don't like that because to me, you overthink. I don't think, and my point is, I don't think Matt Campbell is going to overthink some of these decisions or feel pressed and not know what to do and feel comfortable and confident about the decisions. Whether or not it works or not, he's going to have a system to it and be comfortable making those decisions. And luckily, those decisions yesterday, they worked out, and he looked really good making those decisions. But I think that is going to be big. And obviously, in the big games, we're going to see, like, when, you know, it's like it's conference game and we got a big decision to make, and that will even be magnified more. But good to see that. I mean, there's nothing bad to say. What can we say bad? We can't say anything bad about this game. And it's I don't know if I like it because we're always negative except for last year. But yeah, so that's all obviously a positive thing. I know some of those guys, you know, they work hard on those decision makes. There's like sheet, like I said, there's analytic books of making decisions for these some of these staffs, and I just think this staff, they're not, I don't know for a fact, I'll try to find that out if they use analytics or not, but whatever they're doing, they seem very comfortable making their decisions when it comes to using timeouts or whatever it be from a game operation standpoint.
I think what's missing in that analytics book, and I consider myself a pretty analytical guy overall, but I think you miss is the flow of the game. Is there a play that you have in your back pocket that you're comfortable with, you know, that you feel good about? These factor in. So I think it was the very first drive when he went settled for the field goal. But I think it was like, okay, so much adrenaline, everything coming up to this moment. I don't think he – I think the only way he could risk that momentum – was if they went for it on fourth down and didn't get it. You have a field goal kicker who's really good. Kick it, get on the board. Your team feels really good about itself and will continue to. I thought that was part of that decision. And the fourth down in his own territory, I think it was he was comfortable with his team making it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, I would say long term, like what happened yesterday, he built equity with the fans when it comes to like trusting his decisions, right? And it worked out in our favor. So that's huge. And as we continue to do that, as he continues to make some good decisions in these next couple games, he's just going to continue to build that equity as those decisions go in our favor. Right, because it's just not going to go in our favor every single time. So when a decision he makes, you know, maybe in the USC game or down the line sometime in the season, and it doesn't go our way, well, he's built enough equity that we trust that the play just didn't go our way, because naturally that's not going to happen like that. I think that's something important the fans should understand. So that, and but that it's also it's just another positive sign from yesterday.
It's a good point. I hadn't thought about it, but I think you're right. He did build up a lot of equity with the fans with those decisions. He also built up a lot of equity with the fans with stuff that off the field, in the things that went on, Mike, where running out onto the field. He wasn't the lead guy. It wasn't about him. When the team was announced, the starting lineup, he was not announced. It was even when he showed up prior to the game, and as you mentioned, we were there in the club looking down, we could watch this. He just blended in with the team. It was never about him. And quite candidly, Mike, that's in sharp contrast to the guy who's now in Blacksburg.
Yeah, so this game that I keep talking about the vibes, and it was just, and I think everybody was kind of looking at like what is going to be different from the previous 12 years. Just from a hiring standpoint, regardless of who the last head coach was, I just think Matt Campbell is genuinely the best coach for this position or for this school and Penn State specifically. Right, because he is really, truly, obviously, with everything that we've seen that he's done with the Letterman and the history of Penn State, bringing everybody back, like, he genuinely embraces this community. And you see it from the letterman, right? I'm not a Penn Stater, right? I love Penn State, and I love working for this school. But, like, those lettermen, I think it means more to them. And so when I see a Jay Paterno on the sideline, and he said, I saw that success for honor sign before I got on the field in the South Tunnel, and he almost cried, right? Like, Matt Campbell, it's not about him, right? And that's nothing, and it's not a shot against Franklin, but this is who he is, and this is how he wants to operate this team. He wants it to be about the team, Penn State, the fans, and the history. And you saw that yesterday. He didn't lead the team out. I thought it was kind of cool seeing Cooper Cousins run out there or leading the team out. And he was like kind of – it was kind of like a boxer. He was like kind of a shadow boxer. I'm like, all right, this is cool. I like that. But, yeah, the point, you know, but Campbell wasn't in the front. They didn't. And now personally, after the lineup – were called out to the stadium, I was looking for, like, all right, I can't wait to hear them call Campbell out, and they're going to get a huge a cheer, and they didn't call him out. So that was another thing that I noticed. And then I remember flipping on Twitter during the game, and, like, obviously a lot of people noticed that. But I also noticed – I didn't notice this, but the song selection was apparently interesting, to say the least. I heard Kelly Clarkson was played. I heard Metallica had a song played. I heard there was a bunch of, like, maybe subtle shots. I think that's kind of fun, to be honest. But yeah, I just think everything with Matt Campbell and what Penn State is from all the way back before even Joe Paul, like, he's embracing it, and I'm just like, I think Penn State fans couldn't be prouder or happier to have this guy as the coach. Now, this is still the kind of the honeymoon, right? Like we're going to go through hard times. We're not going to go undefeated every single year. We're going to have some hard times. And so I think this is a great start to build on even that equity with the fans, because I think with Franklin in the past years, anything he did that was kind of like, the fans didn't like, it was magnified, right? Because they just didn't like how he was operating and the Joe Paul stuff and all that. But not with this guy. This guy obviously has embraced it, like I've stated, and just rolled out a bunch of details. But I just think it's really cool. And then seeing Jay Paterno on the sideline, and I haven't met him, and so I thought it was really cool meeting him. And then TK, who's an academic advisor, and his great-grandfather was one of Joe Paul's first captains, and he's a through-and-through Penn Stater, right? And he was telling me about when Sue Paterno came and talked to the team. It was supposed to be private, but I think Jay got it out there socially, not on purpose, but I think he was just very proud of Sue Paterno. And let me tell you this. Let me tell you this tidbit. This is kind of off, but I thought it was really powerful. It was one of the, like, something that stuck with me yesterday. TK told me, you know, somebody asked her in that team room with all the players and staff in there, you know, what qualified as a successful recruit? All right. And I might be mixing some words up a little bit, but and Sue, she said, I don't care what they do in 4 years, 4 or 5 years. We never cared. We cared in 15 years if he became a successful husband, businessman, whatever in life, walk of life, good human being. That's how they viewed a successful recruit. I just never heard that. It almost sounds like a recruit pitch type of deal. I never heard that, but you know, people that follow Joe Paul obviously know, you know, he was a very big culture guy and everything. And like that was powerful to me. And that's what we have on our team. We are embracing all of that. And so I just think it's really cool. And just the whole Matt Campbell era starting yesterday, I couldn't be excited. I'm just jacked about this team. I'm jacked about him. I really think this team can compete. I know it's Marshall, right? But, you know, they had a play out there, and they had a good team. They had arguably they had a top 25 offense last year with the same quarterback, right? And you had three offensive linemen. One of the linemen almost got picked off by Ohio State to be even just a backup, right? Like, obviously, it's different money and different, but it still was a good game. It's what they should have done. Like, you couldn't have been perk, but like you, a shutout. I think I saw it on Twitter, but the last shutout was like 1915 or something like that. But Dick Harlow was the head coach at that time. So the old heads, I think, would love that stat.
All right, that's going to be it for quarter three. We're going to talk shutout and defense when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villazona, Executive Director at HVU Insider, quarter number four of our show. And Mike, you've been talking about this good vibe going on, and you're right. And from the fan standpoint, the older fans who do remember Joe Paterno, and success with honor was my favorite expression that was used. And Joe would often, as you mentioned, Sue Paterno talking about it, success is measured by what they do beyond these 4 years at Penn State. The fact is, though, you still have to win games, okay, to get the opportunity to coach these guys, or as Matt Campbell might say, to earn the opportunity to have an influence on these guys later in life, to be good husbands, good fathers, successful in their chosen careers. And it seemed like he banked, as you put it, some equity with the fan base and all of those things he did. But on the field, we also saw things that a year ago, the out-of-conference schedule, which was they played bad teams, but they didn't play clean games against them, okay, which I think bodes well for when the season does get a little bit more serious. So I want to talk about the defensive side of the ball. They pitched a shutout here, and I gave an expression in one of our podcasts that said, you know what, they had a plan and they executed it. I think we really saw that on defense, what we've been talking about and what we've heard from, like Derek Hoosier. They built the team with these big guys to play defensive tackle, to occupy people, and then the linebackers and safeties could be in attack mode. Boy, it just looked to me like they played so fast, those linebackers, those safeties, Mike.
Yeah, I think, I mean, everything that we were talking about in the offseason, right, you know, you know, the defense last year, you know, it's well, yeah, it's been well said that, you know, it's complicated. It was complicated. It takes a year or two to get used to that defense. This defense, I think going into it with D. Lynn, the 4-2-5 and his background, we knew it was going to be a little less complicated and complex for the guys to learn. And obviously these guys, they played fast yesterday with the shutout. And the last quarter, I said first shutout since 1915, I meant home opener. So it was the first home opener shutout since like 1915 or something like that, which is nuts. But D. Lynn, like when I was talking about earlier, you know, the aura and the vibes pregame, D. Lynn just got this chill, like cool, calm, almost like a Denzel Washington, American Gangster type of vibe to him. Like, he's cool, calm, and collected, man. He's got these guys playing fast and hard. You know, even and there were still some injuries. Like we didn't know if we were going to see Jeremiah Cooper out there yesterday. So he obviously is a big piece to this defense, and he's still getting healthy. Armstrong. I thought he was going to play, but he didn't suit up yesterday. But he's the huge refrigerator inside that I think is going to be also another huge piece as we go along the season. But this defense has a chance to be freaking elite. We've been saying it, right? I said it last week. The defensive backfield, the safeties and the corners have a chance to be elite because they are elite athletically, but also our D-line is big and we're going to be able to get to the ball Caleb Bacon yesterday, I think, was somebody that was really cool. I didn't know he was a walk-on. I think that is an awesome story about him. Coach Campbell brought that up in the press conference, you know, battling as a walk-on and then earning a scholarship and then going through a position change or being asked to be flexible and do multiple things. That's not always easy for a kid. So to see him and the perseverance for him to come out and now not just, no, hey, good job. Hey, he's going to be a big piece to the success to this defense. I thought the linebackers looked great yesterday, but you're right. They flew around. I didn't see Josiah Zayas starting that game, so I thought that was interesting that he got to start yesterday. He had a solid game. I think all around, all the guys looked pretty good. Pre-game, I'm looking at the guys, how they're moving around, how they look, you know. Because, you know, some of the guys like a Tony Rojas, you know, when they're working, when they're going through their position drills, I'm looking at how Tony looks. That linebacker room is big, man. Like they're huge. Like Kale Brazina, the backup, he's a big kid and he's going to get some PT time. But I thought Cooper in the middle was awesome. And then Tony is going to be obviously a stud for us. So, I mean, top down. People are seeing what I've been saying. Like, this team is way more talented than what the national media perceived because they don't know what is actually in Lash, right? They don't know because everybody's moving around so much. But we are lucky to see it up close, and it was good to see that that the defense played really well.
It was, and yes, you and I have talked about this quite a bit, and I always said he cherry-picked from his Iowa State team. He brought in the 20-some best players, okay, and he still had some really good players from Penn State. I want to talk a little more about Josiah Zayas. I think that's the example, and I've asked this question, will it play here at Penn State, this being able to recruit 3 stars and coach them up? Well, here's this Josiah Zayas. If I remember correctly, he's a youngster, talented. I think he was just a 3-star came in. And, Mike, the plays he made aggressively, tackles for loss, and specifically there was the play, looked like an outside zone. Someone had the quarterback. He had the running back. And it wasn't like he just came in free. He had to fight off a blocker. He was covered. Somebody was assigned to block him. Well, he just beat the block to make the play. So he wasn't running free. He, I thought, was very impressive. And I thought this was another example of this team, the staff scouting really well, identifying talent and putting it out there and putting it into positions to succeed. Where I'm headed with that, you mentioned his name, Caleb Bacon. He played multiple... As Matt Campbell likes to say, multiplicity of the player. There was a series where it was like he had 2 tackles for loss and a quarterback hurry in one series, Mike. He just took over the game. And I think they also lined him up like at, they had 4 defensive ends on the defensive line at one point. And Caleb Bacon, this linebacker, was playing defensive tackle or lined up at defensive tackle. That's a talented guy who could do all of those things.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, it's a really cool, inspiring story. Just, you know, anytime you get a guy that has to walk on, especially in these times with money and, you know, it's a tight business. And he walked on, earned his spot. And now he's in a great position to be a key factor in this defense success. But we talked about with this defense, you know, being multiple, the 4-2-5, you know, that honey badger nickel position that I wanted to see. That's fun. Like, I think, you know, Caleb Bacon had a good game, but I think what we're going to see as we go on through the season is we're going to see a bunch of Caleb Bacons pop up, right?
Yes.
You're going to see, like, Caleb Bacon's this week, right? Maybe next week, depending on what type of offense it is. Marcus Neal might have a huge game. I think it's going to be distributed just depending on what the offense and what they're bringing. Because Marshall, you know, with Del Rio, they were trying to run the ball a bunch. So, you know, I think Caleb Bacon got in there and was able to help, you know, stop the run game from the quarterback, because I think they were really trying to get that established, you know, slow the game down, move the chains. But we were able to get them on a ton of third and outs. But so, yeah, I'm excited to see it. Man, those guys look so locked in. And, like, looked so – you know how, like, you brought up, like, last year we just didn't play well at the first couple games that we should have played well? Well, these guys, like, they could care less. I don't think they could care less who was on the other side of the field. Like, they seemed like they were just out there and, like, so loose and excited to just play finally after going through, you know, a long camp, you know, a long summer, you know, a long spring ball, a long winter workouts, right, the whole transition thing. Wow, you know, 40 new people onto the team, you know, getting acclimated, you know, all of that was just finally let go and reset yesterday. And you just felt that from the kids, like that vibe. I got it. Maybe it's just me and like what I'm looking for and what I try to like sense a pregame. It's a huge thing for head coaches, pregame vibes, huge. I'll say Coach Huff, when I worked for him, he would come in after pregame and we would meet in the staff room before we go out to the game. And he would flip out about, man, I don't think these guys are ready. I don't think these guys are ready. Oh, we're going to get killed. It's funny, but like a lot of that's a big deal. And to me, like that, it was like they've been doing it for years. So I just think we're in a really good position when it comes to that type of stuff and just like culture and moving forward and playing loose and these guys being ready for each game.
Yes, Matt Campbell aced the weekend in every way, on and off the field. All right, Mike, we got 2 minutes left of the show. I want to go down the shameless plug area here. Me, you, and our buddy Chris Buchanani, we mentioned Chris's name. The three of us are now doing a new podcast. It's on the HVU Insider YouTube channel. Just tell our listeners a little bit about it and why you're so excited about that show.
Yeah, it's a show that I just thought, like when you brought me in on this show, and then that led to me, you, and Chris doing a show at Buffalo Wild Wings with some recruits. And, you know, I've never done this. And, you know, you guys just always made me feel comfortable. And then eventually it was like, man, this is pretty cool. Like I like doing the Pine Grove Hall. I was like, I always just love talking ball with you two. And we kind of have our all three different backgrounds, right? I coach and was in the recruiting game, worked here. You've been here forever, long life fan, worked in the media forever. And Chris does like pretty much everything. He's like the rain man to me when it comes to Penn State football and history. So we had the idea, you know, we have so many things going on with Happy Valley United. And there's so many things in the NIL ecosystem, right? Like I was talking to Coach Dombach yesterday at the game. She actually got to go to the game. It's confusing. It's confusing to people. It's fun because I like talking ball with you guys, one. But two, it allows us to bring everything together and educate, you know, the fans and everything that we got going on. Maybe it's not just Happy Valley United, but it's everything else. So everybody can kind of understand the ecosystem of Penn State and when it comes to NIL. So that's why I'm really excited about it. And it's got a PTI feel.
and it's a lot of fun. It'll the show, again, it's on the HVU Insider YouTube channel. Got to give out a shout out to our buddy Brian, who puts the show together and does a fantastic job. All right, Mike, that's it for our show. Thank you all for joining us. Come back next time for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.